This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. And we're visiting now with Quinn Hillier, occasional guest on our show, native of New Orleans, where he was born and raised, graduate of Isidore Newman and Georgetown, and a long and distinguished career in journalism and in politics. Worked for Bob Livingston at high levels, the former congressman who came within a whisker of being Speaker of the House. Quinn's also the former managing editor of Gambit. He's worked for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, Washington Times, many other publications. And, of course, he is senior editor and columnist at The Spectator. And he is with us to talk about where we are in the world of politics 10 days removed from November 3rd. And right now, Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. is surging ahead to about 6 million votes in front of Donald John Trump. But the president has refused to concede the election, and the Republicans on Capitol Hill are with the president right now, although there seems to be some movement toward acknowledging that Joe Biden will become the president on January 20th, barring something really, really unforeseen. Quinn, how do you see it right now?
Well, I mean, the odds are 99% that this result will stick. Anybody who says vote fraud doesn't happen doesn't know what they're talking about. Anybody that says that this was a totally clean election has not been looking at the evidence. But anybody that thinks that Trump can overcome a total number of votes in four states, tens of thousands of votes in each of four states, doesn't understand math. Trump might have some complaints, but they don't come anywhere near adding up to enough to get him to win.
Why do you think he has not accepted the verdict of the people?
Because he's Donald Trump. I mean, look, Donald Trump lives in his own self-created reality, and he's not really as interested in, in facts. He's never been, or in accuracy or in truth, as he is in trying to shape the world to fit his desires. And that's what he's doing here. Again, you kick out Republican election supervisors in the middle of the night, and you have suspicions arise. If you send different instructions to Democratic precincts than you do about to Republican precincts, like they did in Wisconsin about what votes can count, you have suspicions arise. All of this feeds Trump's ability to justify himself, even though the math, again, is not there.
877-217-5757 is your number. Now, Trump is talking about, according to those who are on the inside, he's not saying much publicly, hardly anything from his mouth. He tweets, but 2024, a race for the presidency 4 years from now, is not out of the realm of possibility. Do you see that as a realistic prospect?
Unfortunately, I do. Trump is not the kind that will go away. He'll spend 4 years saying that the election was stolen from him. And if he's still healthy enough at age 78, then I'm sure he will very seriously consider running again, and probably will run. And that will be another nightmare for the Republican Party.
He would be tough to beat, it would seem, on the Republican side.
It would seem, just because he now has such a huge following. I mean, it would be almost, not almost impossible, but very, very difficult to beat him. Look, he still enjoys support from at least 80% of Republicans nationwide, according to polls, and even according to exit polls from the recent balloting. You don't beat somebody with 80% support within a primary.
Well, the tally right now, with more than 95% of the national vote in, and of course we don't elect presidents based on national voting, but Joe Biden is at 50.9%, 77,503,000, and Donald Trump's at 47.5%, 72,320,000, so that's a margin of 5 million 182,000 with votes to be counted in areas where Biden is expected to win rather handsomely. So the margin should be around 6 million votes by the time the final verdict is in. But Donald Trump has received the second highest number of votes of any candidate in history, more votes than any Republican in history. And he got a higher percentage of the vote than he did 4 years ago. So why were the polls off? And they were off. In fact, they were off more this time than last. They just didn't get the winner wrong. But why were they wrong, in your judgment, Quinn?
They were wrong because more and more, it's a weird cultural phenomenon, but more and more conservative voters don't trust the polls, don't trust the media, and so when they are polled, a lot of them actually lie. They lie just because they think it's like sending a message to the man. It's their way of telling these people that they have contempt for them. I've talked to people that did it. I said that doesn't make any sense, but that's what they do. It's also a fact that it's tougher to poll these days when you have cell phones. Pollsters still have not quite figured out how to get accurate tallies when not everybody's using landlines. There are several other technical reasons why this is, you know, why it's getting tougher and tougher to poll, but those are two of the biggest reasons.
877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org. Quinn Hillier with us for a few more moments, the seasoned Republican, conservative, columnist and commentator who was one of those never-Trumpers. And are you thumping your chest that at least he's gone for 4 years, or is this a time for humility?
This is a time for humility. It's also a time for the country to take a cue from at least the public attitude that Joe Biden has shown. He's done everything the way that he should in terms of his tone and the message that he's been sending about unifying, about finding ways to talk to each other again, et cetera, et cetera. I'm no Joe Biden fan. I'm even less of a Kamala Harris fan. But we're going to have a very narrowly elected president, a probably very narrow Republican majority in the Senate, and a probably very narrow Democratic majority in the House. You know what that means? That means maybe everybody will have to start talking to each other again, negotiating, finding a way to compromise for the good of the American people.
All right. Tom on Bluebonnet asked for us to play the cut, and I think we have it. Yesterday we visited with Foster Campbell, one of the last white Democratic liberal, and he is by Louisiana standards a liberal, lawmakers and now public service commissioner, 45 consecutive years in office and just got a 6-year term, defying the odds, winning in a conservative area. Donald Trump got 59% of the votes in Campbell's PSC district. Campbell got 53, and he's back for another 6 years. And here he was yesterday, Quinn, saying basically that it's time to call it a day for the president.
Absolutely. They should stand up and tell him it is over. Good night, Irene. It is over. Stand up and be a man about it. Come on. What you going to do? You afraid to speak up now? The guy's got beat. What are you going to do, just sit here and moan about it? It's over. O-V-E-R.
That's Foster Campbell. Now, you and I remember Woody Jenkins, and he didn't accept defeat gracefully, and it hurt him afterward. People never forgave him for that. Is there a possibility that Trump may end up irritating people to the point where they lose faith in him based on this challenge that has...
No, his following... I don't want to say that his followers are cultists, but his following has the avidity, the enthusiasm in some respects of a cult. People are with him. They're not with, you know, the ideas. They're not with the party. They are with him. And I don't think it's going to hurt him except at the margins. But then again, that's where he loses right now, is at the margins. So we'll see. I could say something about Woody Jenkins actually having a much better case back in 1996 than he was given credit for. I'm not saying he had all 6,000 votes that he needed, but he proved at least 1,500 fraudulent votes there, and he had every right to ask that that be investigated.
And it was a 5,788 vote margin, and that margin is closer than any margin in any state that Donald Trump lost, but yet the president soldiers on with his claim that he was robbed. And let's go take a call or two for Quinn in our remaining time with him. And let's start with Harry in Denham Springs. Harry, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Please be brief, Harry.
In our relationships with China, Russia, and North Korea, I read somewhere where it said that China is most pleased that Biden got elected for our president. Do you agree or disagree?
All right. What about foreign leaders being happy that Biden, some enemies of the U.S., some friends, but for the most part, most of them are happy that there's a change. It's seemingly so. What do you think, Quinn?
I think, well, he asked about China. I think Putin is unhappy that Trump lost. As for China, China is sometimes inscrutable. There are reasons why China would be happy with Biden. There are also reasons why China would be happy with Trump.
All right. Finally, let's be brief. Mitchell on Plank Road. Mitchell, quickly, you're on.
Trump has no heart and he has no humility. Look at the coronavirus killing all our people. He never said nothing about that.
All right. There were those who said this coronavirus would be over on November 4th. It's far from the case, Quinn, and that's a story that will continue.
It's a story that will continue, and it's a big, big tragedy. I hope everybody stays safe.
Thank you, my friend, and you stay safe, and we'll be talking soon, we hope. Thank you, Quinn.
Thank you.
Appreciate you. And we'll be back after this timeout with an extremely provocative guest.